The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
We welcome you to the second hour, busy one, with Nick Saban dominating hour number one. But if you haven't heard this next story, listen up. Our guest, Simon Gibbs, who we've had on before, one of the great young sports journalists in the country with The Hustler, the student newspaper, has broken a whopper of a story about a young lady on the SEC championship winning soccer team at Vanderbilt that could end up kicking for the Commodores. Simon, it's great to see you again. Thanks so much. Congratulations on the great work in sharing this story with the world. And good afternoon, and tell us all about it.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me, Paul. So obviously, the past few days have been a whirlwind for all Vanderbilt sports. That really started on Sunday, because on Sunday, as you mentioned, the Vanderbilt women's soccer team won the SEC tournament. So obviously, I do want to give a shout out to them. They had an incredible season because they headed into the season with high expectations, a lot of talent, and they ultimately fell short in the regular season. They went just 4-4. And then come SEC tournament time, everything changed. They ran through the tournament, made quick work of four straight teams, aggregate goals of like 14-4. And they ended up winning their first tournament title since 1994. A couple days later, the Vanderbilt-Tennessee game, as you know well, was moved or postponed or to be determined whether or not they'll actually play. And Vanderbilt was then scheduled to play Missouri. In yesterday's press conference, I asked Coach Derek Mason about the kicking situation prior to the Missouri game. And I asked because, you know, Vanderbilt has struggled with kicking this year. Pearson Cook is now 3-for-7, I believe, on field goals. And Vanderbilt has been using a walk-on kicker for extra points the past couple weeks. But then last week, the walk-on kicker was nowhere to be seen, and Cook returned to taking the extra points. So I asked Coach Mason, you know, why that was the case. And he sort of gave a little undescriptive answer of the kicking situation, saying he hadn't decided yet and he will decide come practice. He also, at one point, and this is funny in hindsight, was laughing through part of the answer, and I don't think it was intentional. I don't think it was necessarily him tipping or gesturing towards anything. But as it turned out, after practice, I had multiple people reach out to me telling me that Sarah Fuller, the starting goalkeeper of Vanderbilt's SEC championship-winning soccer team, was in full pads at practice. And I want to say Vanderbilt Athletics has not confirmed that she's kicking. They have not confirmed that she was at practice. They've hardly confirmed anything. All I know is from multiple people coming to me, telling me the exact same story, that she was there going through the motions on the sideline. She didn't actually kick in practice, but was going through the motions. And that would make her, at least to our knowledge, through our research, the first woman to, if she plays, which we don't know if she will, she would be the first woman to log a snap in a Power 5 game, we believe.
Simon, we're here to talk about her and the Commodores, not the machinations of the Vanderbilt athletic situation within the realm of the university. But why wouldn't they confirm something like that? I mean, a school, the athletic department, in desperate need of any positive publicity related to football, this would be an easy one to figure out, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, look, Paul, they obviously don't know what their kicking situation is going to look like. With multiple specialists in quarantine, I heard that's the reason why Sarah was brought to practice. And I'm sure the coaches don't necessarily know what they do. I'm sure the coaches are going to put out their best option come Saturday. And if that's Sarah, then Sarah's going to take a snap. And I would love to see it. But as for why they wouldn't confirm the news, I mean, my job, I'm not supposed to go behind sports information directors. And I don't go behind the backs of the SIDs because this was not information I sought out. This is not a story I could have possibly come up with and snooped around for information. People came to me telling me this because they couldn't believe it, and when I heard it, I couldn't believe it. And I mean, it's great to hear something like this, but this is not a story I could have made up. This is not a story I could have found my way around the athletic department. But you know, I do understand they're not confirming it because obviously, not only do they not know what the kicking situation might look like come Saturday, but if this ends up happening, I obviously. The methods through which I got the information is not necessarily the traditional route because normally you don't have people in and around the program coming to you telling you this type of stuff.
Let me move on to the actual team, which shows you how badly this season has gone, that we're now praising them for good efforts. You warned us about this before the season, Simon, and your warnings were prescient. What's the state of this football program? I've lost track of how many years Derek Mason has been there. I think he's been there since 2014.
Seven.
And this will easily be his worst year. That's saying something,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I mean, right. And this is a tough season. Don't get me wrong. They're playing an all-SEC schedule. What's changed from the last time, you know, I made that comment about the outlook of their season, what's changed between then and now is actually quite a bit, in that Ken Seals is 10 times the quarterback I could have ever expected him to be. He's going to be the face of Vanderbilt football for quite some time, and he's going to be a name to remember in the SEC, because Ken Seals is a legitimate quarterback, and as a true freshman is making waves in this conference. We see him throwing for 300 yards plus routinely. He had a week against Florida this past week. That was the most impressive game I've ever seen from a freshman. And granted, Vanderbilt lost the game and their offense really slowed down in the second half. What we saw in the first half, particularly the first quarter, was him going punch for punch, tit for tat with Kyle Trask. For a true freshman at Vanderbilt to be on the same level and arguably at one point better than Kyle Trask, I truly believe that at one point at the beginning of the game, he was better than Kyle Trask statistically. That's incredible. So I think there's a lot of optimism for this offense at the moment. The defense is certainly struggling. The secondary is very much struggling. But I think the offense is really, really the bright spot of this team right now.
Even if the Commodores go 0-10, and we have to remember they play, they still have Tennessee left, so there's hope. Simon, what will be said about Derek Mason's future?
It's tough to tell at this point. I may have people telling me something about who did or didn't attend practice. I definitely don't have people telling me about the head coach's future. So obviously I can't answer that with certainty, but what I can tell you is that obviously, as you mentioned, this would be the worst season Derek Mason's had since his arrival at Vanderbilt. And with a new athletic director, with sort of a new era of Vanderbilt athletics, they're going to, I assume, take some serious steps to evaluate the coaching situation. There's a new chancellor on campus, too. And I know for a fact that they're still going to evaluate this as it looks. They're going to evaluate it if they go 0-10 as an 0-10 season. They're not going to put an asterisk next to it. So I do think that if they go 0-10, there is a very good chance that we might see some coaching changes. But worth noting, I don't know if and when they're going to make any decision to make a change. But if they do, you know, with the season ending very late, December 12th, maybe December 19th, depending on when this Tennessee game gets played, if it gets played, they're going to have to make a really quick turnaround, because National Early Signing Day is in mid-December. So if they choose to make a change at the coaching level, which I'm not sure they will at this point, they're going to have to quickly turn things around, find a new candidate, and round up a recruiting class.
Simon, Vanderbilt's coming to take you away. I hear those sirens, so you should not have broken the story. Final question. You weren't sure whether this Tennessee game would be scheduled. It seems like we're going to hear from the SEC in a couple of days, and December 19th is going to be used for the junk pile, so to speak. I mean, what's it going to be like if we have this game between two of the worst teams, maybe the two worst teams by then, in the SEC on the same day as all the championship games are going to be played? What would the interest level be?
I mean, in both fan bases, the interest level will be so high and so low at the same time. They're going to be, of course, they're going to want to know the outcome. And of course, one team is going to want the other to falter. But at the end of the day, I think this is going to be a meeting of the minds, two programs that are in serious trouble, two head coaches that, you know, there's a lot of skepticism around their futures with the programs. But I think at this point, Vanderbilt is going to come out fiercely against Tennessee, especially after this game got postponed and for weird reasons, too. I mean, I'm not sure I fully understood why it had to be moved, but I think Vanderbilt's going to come out really hot against Tennessee. I could very well see them pulling off an upset against Tennessee, to which I think, as you know well, Tennessee fans would lose their minds.
You are correct about that, Simon. Hey, it's always a pleasure to have you on. You're one of our favorites. Come back soon. I know you're running out of time at Vanderbilt at some point, but we love having you here, and congratulations again on the story.
Thank you so much, Paul.
You bet. Simon Gibbs, the award-winning sports editor of The Hustler. We'll take a break. Get your reaction to that. More to come as we roll on here on a day before Thanksgiving.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
We welcome you back again. The breaking news of this Wednesday before Thanksgiving. Nick Saban has tested positive. The school said in its release he is showing mild symptoms. Saban said he has not developed any of the cardinal indicators of COVID, but there certainly is some concern, as there has to be with anyone 69 years old developing COVID-19. Brian is up next. Hey, Brian, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, how are you?
We are doing great. Thank you.
You know, I want to say thanks for keeping it real.
Well, thank you for saying that.
We got some pretty excitable people that call into your show, and you sure do have a way with words, man.
Well, this is very important to all of us here, and we genuinely appreciate people that call in and listen and watch, regardless of what they say.
I'll say this. There's a few Chief Kahunas out there at college football, Paul. You're one of them, buddy. I really appreciate it, and you just keep on doing what you do.
Thank you, Brian. Appreciate your kind words. Have a great Thanksgiving. Before we get to the next call, another game has gone down. A couple of games early, I think it was Colorado State and Air Force was postponed or canceled. And now multiple reports that Oklahoma has paused activity and will have to postpone the game this weekend at West Virginia. That was a really interesting game. Oklahoma playing extraordinarily well after its blowout over Oklahoma State. So another one bites the dust this weekend. Let's get to the calls. And Mark is in Richmond. You are next up. Hey, Mark.
Paul.
Hi there.
How you doing?
Mark, I'm doing really, really well. Thank you.
Well, that's great. First of all, I'm a first-time caller. And not really a long time listener, about 4 years, I think.
Well, thank you.
But I want to get to my point. when you first came, when I first saw you on the air, and I don't know how long you've been on, I just glimpsed, you know, and I said to myself, and I said, where'd they get this gentleman from? I mean, this bald-headed dude and round-rimmed glasses, you know, and I said, man, ESPN must be getting tough. So let me finish. But I said, you know, a couple of weeks or so made a pass, and I caught you again. And I can't remember what it is, but you said something that hit me right in the gut that was so honest and truthworthy that, yeah, so, and from that point on, I said, this man knows what he's talking about. I don't care what he looks like, and that's no offense. Everybody's got to look like something.
So, even me.
And what'd you say?
I said, even if they look like me, they have to look like something. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, everybody's got to look like somebody. Sure. So, and I just want to let you know, you got one best, if not the best, on show on the air. And I sincerely believe, I really believe that. And two more things. I'm a disabled veteran of the Vietnam conflict.
Sure.
They won't call it a war, so. And I'd like to shout out to all the former Marines that were in my companies all over the world, which I hope most of them are still with us. And best to you, your family, and stay safe. And thanks for laying on Retro Max this morning. That was the best job I've seen. I call him Retro Max because he's going, always going, but say if, but back in, you know. But you put him on the spot this morning. I loved every second of it.
Well, Mark, thank you
Line is, you be safe. Love your show. And you and your family, stay, you know, just take care and be good.
Mark, you have a great Thanksgiving.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you very much. Yeah, Mark was referring to, I was on First Take today with Max Kellerman, and he was attempting to make a point. And we're still waiting for him to make it. Let's continue with more calls here at 855-242-7285. And Willard is in Birmingham. Hey, Willard.
Hey, Paul. How's it going?
Very well. Thank you, Willard.
Hey, I've got to ask you a question, Paul. I was wondering if you really think that Nick Saban getting COVID is an accident.
I don't know anyone purposely that wants to get COVID. So what are you asking me?
Yes, sir. Well, I've got a kind of a theory here.
Okay, shoot.
So you and I both know that every year people go into the Iron Bowl making predictions who they think is going to win the game. And you know, sometimes it's like once they get out on the field, none of that really matters. Records don't matter. And we both know that Auburn can always pull off the upset. And I think this year, Saban was honestly scared to coach against Gus Malzahn.
Yeah, I think you're honestly out of your mind. But that's okay, Willard. Have a happy Thanksgiving. Jared is up next in Dallas. Hello, Jared. Go right ahead. Jared, are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I sure can.
Hey, so I'm watching on the SEC Network, but I have a Big 12 question for you. I just want to know if you put any stock or legitimacy in Texas looking to move on from Tom Herman into Urban Meyer.
I think it's possible. Tom Herman was one of the so-called great hires ever.
Right.
And, you know, he has been a colossal disappointment. You know, failure might be a slightly exaggerated term, but I know one thing. He's been there, what, four or five years? What's he done?
Mm-hmm. He's won one Red River. That's about it.
Yeah. I mean, ultimately,
and a Sugar Bowl.
Yeah,
which was,
you're right.
It was great, but then again, like
to
we
me,
did win the Big 12, and then we got to it by default. But
to me, if you could get Urban Meyer, you go for him. Urban Meyer is one of the greatest coaches of this generation. With Urban, you get a lot of baggage, and I don't know if Urban Meyer wants to coach. I have friends who know him pretty well, and he really was sick and completely exhausted from his last year and has not shown a lot of signs. But I do know one thing about all coaches. It's hard to move on from coaching. Even doing television, that sounds glamorous and exciting, but I've sat with a lot of coaches at ESPN on Sunday morning and on sets on Saturday morning. And the one thing they always want to do is coach. They're television is just something for them to do between jobs.
Right. Well, I appreciate the call. Have a happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you very much. And I don't know why I'm coughing. Every time you cough nowadays, you just start freaking out. The phone number is 855-242-7285. We are going to talk more with you on the phones. And also Mike Griffith will be joining us shortly. We'll get the weekly update from him after this.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
And we're back here on this Wednesday. I hope all of you are having safe travels out there for Thanksgiving. And Mike Griffith joins us, our weekly Thursday guest. But since we knew Mike would be eating all day tomorrow, we decided to grab him today. Mike, thank you. And it looks like your predictions have come true, that Georgia finally found a quarterback. Good afternoon.
It wasn't really going out on much of a limb there, Paul. I mean, this guy has been a National Player of the Year since he was a freshman in high school, Max Preps National Player of the Year, sophomore, Max Preps National Player of the Year, junior, National Gatorade Player of the Year. Then his senior year, when he's supposed to be in high school, he's throwing for 347 on an undefeated Notre Dame and over 300 on a Texas team to beat Georgia. It really wasn't that much of a prediction. If you look at what JT Daniels has done, and he is who we thought that he would be.
Tell us this again, and I know we've covered this territory often, but why couldn't he have played earlier when maybe Georgia's season could have been saved?
Yeah, you know, that's between JT and Kirby Smart and the trainer. But, you know, talking with JT's father, Steve Daniels, earlier this week, the Daniels family is happy with the way that Kirby Smart and Georgia dealt with this. There's a lot of trust there. They believe that, you know, that Kirby wasn't going to rush their son out there. He's been rehabilitating from a knee injury. The thought in fall camp, Paul, was that JT would be cleared for the opener from the ACL surgery and the cleanup that he had last January, but he wasn't cleared for the opener, so Kirby moved forward with Juwan Mathis and Stetson Bennett and were merrily rowing along and really didn't feel like, I guess, JT could play until after the Florida game. JT went to his office and said, Coach, I can make these throws. I can make this happen. And Stetson was injured. He had the shoulder injury. He left the Florida game with a 14-0 lead on the first 3.5 minutes when he suffered the sprained shoulder. Came back in the game with a shot and wasn't able to hit the broadside of a barn. Dwan Mathis unable to rally Georgia despite several opportunities, several open receivers in the second half, and JT Daniels at that point still not cleared. So he's been ready the last 2 weeks. Missouri canceled out of that COVID game. We talked about that. And then they played against Mississippi State, and JT was near flawless. I mean, the guy was 10 of 10 passing on third downs and converted on 8 out of 10 third downs of 8 yards or more. He was very impressive.
Talking to Mike here, certainly the Georgia situation has cleared up a little bit. Let me wrap up Georgia with asking you about the rest of the season. I know recruiting continues to go very well. So without knowing how the season will end, but we think it's going to end pretty predictably, what do you think the takeaway from this is going to be with South Carolina and Vanderbilt remaining? And then a look ahead, you know, with a good recruiting class to what next year, Mike?
Well, you know, South Carolina's yet guys, you know, quitting on each other left and right. Don't know what you're going to find there in Columbia this weekend. But then you got Vanderbilt. I don't know whether the Missouri game will get made up or not. I know the league's talked about December 19th as a possibility, or December 12th, I suppose. I know they've juggled the schedule recently again. But to your point, Paul, it's really about the momentum. As of now, we believe JT Daniels will be back. I posted a story this afternoon. The mock drafts are starting to come out. It's really early. CBS Sports had JT projected as a number 16 overall pick. I don't think the family plans on going pro right now, but you know how things can change quickly. I mean, if JT finishes the year strong and he's a projected first-round draft pick, who knows? But I think the plan is for him to stay, and what you're seeing is these great receivers. George Pickens, unbelievable talent. Jermaine Burton, now this is an exciting young freshman. He went for 8 for 197. He had OBJ like combine numbers. He's not OBJ. Just saying, he's a very fast guy with a great vertical and great hands. He's been getting a lot of action. But when you got a guy like JT, one of these California quarterbacks, man, they'll just let it fly. If you're going to give a man coverage on the outside, he's taking it to the house. And I kind of feel like, Paul, that, you know, JT is this bright red Lamborghini that's pulled in with California license plates, and Kirby's kind of standing looking back at it, like trying to compare it to that pickup truck that he had under center. And how can Georgia make this work? Because this kid don't go off-road like the last one with the mobility. I think that it's doing Georgia a big favor. I think Mississippi State did Georgia a big favor by loading up against the run and forcing JT to air it out, because I think Kirby Smart's chewing on this. He's talked about evolving the offense. He's got the offensive coordinator do it with Todd Monken. This guy is brilliant. His play calling has been great all year, and he's got these great young receivers. So having a guy like JT, if JT settles in and he's the guy next year, Georgia's offense is really going to take off. The defense will be in a reload mode, but if JT's back next year, they're back to being the favorites in the East once again. And really, what quarterbacks are back next year? Could JT Daniels be the best quarterback in the SEC next season?
Seems like I heard that for another Georgia quarterback just about 10 months ago. Hey, let me ask you, though, because I realize Trask is gone, but you know, he could win the Heisman. Georgia, Florida has a shot at the SEC championship and the national championship. I seem like I ask you this every week, but it just, you know, seems like maybe things are changing a little bit in the East. I know they've changed for the championship game, but what's the level of concern that maybe Georgia did miss its window here?
I don't know. Did they look like they changed in the first quarter against Vanderbilt when they shut down Trask? I don't know. Listen, the Trask Heisman talk, it's cute, but you get this guy moving and pressured and he folds. He's not Joe Burrow. The comparisons are driving me nuts. I'm like, listen, Joe Burrow, Paul, was Johnny Manziel with a brain, okay? Joe Burrow was a playmaker. Joe Burrow was a legacy player. Kyle Trask, you know, he can stand there and hit 100 Papa shots in a row if he doesn't move his feet. But you get this guy moving and he's not the Heisman winner. He's not Joe Burrow. I don't see that. I didn't see him score a touchdown on Georgia in the entire second half against a Georgia defense that, you know, gave up, I don't know what, 150 yards on the wheel route in the first half. I just don't see it. I think Alabama's quarterback is better, and I think Alabama's more balanced. I think Florida has got a very good offense, and Kyle Pitts, I think, makes Florida very, very good. He'll be back this week. But Trask isn't that guy. He's not a guy that's going to be on your fantasy football roster anytime in the future when he gets to the NFL.
And do you feel similarly about Florida, which will play Alabama for the SEC championship and a berth in the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, I think when you look at Alabama, Paul, you look at a team that can run the ball. And I don't think Najee Harris, by the way, is getting nearly enough talk in the Heisman conversation. Najee is what makes Alabama special. He's what brings that run threat. You've got to play Alabama honest or this kid will kill you. He'll run over you. He'll run around you. He'll fake you out. He is dynamic. He is explosive. He is headed for stardom. He's the best running back in the country. Florida doesn't really have that element. They don't have that balance. And so that's why I said if you get Trask behind the chains, just like any quarterback, I mean, it's hard when it's 3rd and 8 and 3rd and 10. And Florida's inability to run the ball consistently is going to be their undoing. You know, I looked it up today. Alabama's got the number one pass efficiency defense in the league. Now, nobody's real good against the pass in the SEC this year, it seems. There's a lot of good quarterback play, a lot of good offense. But Alabama's got some guys that can lock you down back there and some playmakers. And, yeah, that will probably be a blowout in the SEC title game. But still, it's progress for Florida to get there. It's something to recruit to. It gives them an opportunity. Maybe they can get a transfer quarterback in there to continue the aerial assault. And Dan Mullen, he continues to try and build some momentum and get Florida back where they were. But they're not in the conversation with the Urban Meyer or Steve Spurrier teams right now. They're simply not there yet.
And, Mike, I realize 3 weeks is a lifetime in college football, but I just want to close by asking you about the comment you made earlier about Kyle Trask. I put him number one in my weekly Heisman poll, whatever that means. Everyone has a different but to say that the Kyle Trask Heisman talk is cute, I mean, what does that mean?
It means that I the guy's been inconsistent. I've seen him shut down. Like I said, I saw him score 6 points in the second half of a game against Georgia that, you know, really, if Georgia had a quarterback that could hit the broadside, but they don't, right? Florida deserved to win. But I saw him struggle against Vanderbilt. I mean, great quarterbacks don't struggle like I've seen Kyle. And he if he gets in a rhythm, he's deadly, right? When Georgia
Mike,
put him back
guy,
on the field after
30, the guy, hold on, the guy's thrown 31 touchdowns in 7 games. How is that struggling?
Well, I'm just saying he's had moments where he's been inconsistent. I mean, Joe Burrow was a guy that I felt like moved LSU in a very balanced offense. But, you know, Trask stands back there. And like I said, Paul, they've got a good offensive line. And when he doesn't move, he's deadly accurate. But if you get this guy moving, he's easily defeated. I've seen it happen. He doesn't throw well off the run. And I've seen him struggle. I mean, against Georgia last year, they didn't even get in the end zone until the fourth quarter. So he's a talented guy, but he's not Joe Burrow. He's not Tua, okay? But what he is, he's in a very good offensive system. He's got an indefensible tight end. Let me tell you, Kyle Pitts is an impossible cover. The only reason Georgia had any shot of getting back in that game is because the Georgia safety, Lewis Seen, took Kyle Pitts out of that game. If they don't take Kyle Pitts out of that game, Florida probably scores 2 or 3 more touchdowns in the second half. So you put Pitts out there, and he's a pretty amazing target, right? And they do have a good offense, and they've got some good targets. All I'm saying is I don't see Trask as being in the same category with a Trevor Lawrence, and I'm not even sure Justin Fields. Danny Werfel had some pretty good numbers too, Paul. Danny Werfel had some pretty good numbers
in the 1990s. But Kyle Trask is the quarterback at Florida this year. We're not comparing him with Spurrier, Tebow, and
no,
Werfel.
But he's
we're
a,
just talking
but,
about
I'm saying
right
it's
now.
I'm just saying I don't see the greatness. The numbers are there. If you want sure numbers, I mean, Andre Ware had those at Houston once upon a time. I look for more than numbers, okay? I look for consistency, and I look for a guy that's won champion. I'll tell you what, if he beats Alabama, that would certainly rocket him up on my Heisman list, and we're not really allowed to talk about that. But if he can beat Alabama, would be amazing. Yeah, but I don't see it. I saw him trailing Vanderbilt. Were you watching that game?
Mike, right now. Hold on. And by the way, the Heisman ask you, the Heisman Trust ask you not to reveal who you voted for. We're just speculating right now on the horse race. And if you had to rank the Heisman, and I know we're running late here, as we always do, if you had to rank the Heisman favorites right now in order, starting at one, give us your list.
I'm like the college football playoff committee. I'm not going to – I need to see more. What has Justin Fields played, 3 or 4 games? Trevor Lawrence hasn't played in weeks.
As of this moment on November 25th, all I asked you for, 1 to 4.
I like Najee. Right now, based on the body of work right now, I like Najee Harris and Mack. I like the Alabama players. I've seen them win games. I think those guys have done more. Kyle Trask's body of work is early.
Since you're obviously obfuscating here, where would Kyle Trask rank right now?
He's a guy. Look at. I mean, my goodness, when he's got time to throw.
I'm only asking for a number. I don't want a speech. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He's number one.
Top five.
Where in the top
five? I really haven't ranked him, Paul. I really haven't ranked him. Najee Harris deserves more.
I'm not asking you for the square root of something. I'm just asking you to go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yeah, he's like I said, I like Najee right now. I put Trask probably 4 or 5. I haven't really ranked him. I need to
four,
see more.
Four
Paul.
Or five.
I need to see more.
That's all we wanted, Mike. Mike, he's number one on my list, and I said so Sunday morning on SportsCenter, and I doubt the Heisman Committee, the Heisman Trust is going to kick me out, but if they do, fine. So, Mike, we wish you a happy Thanksgiving. We hope to see you next week.
Yeah, that's great. Thanks, Paul. I appreciate it.
Mike Griffith ranking Kyle Trask 4th or 5th on his Heisman list. Bank that one. We'll take a break. More to come on this day before Thanksgiving.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
We welcome you back, and Judson is up next in Maryland. Hey, Judson.
Hi, Paul.
Hey there. What's going on? How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
We're doing great. Thank you for calling.
So, I was wondering, I mean, it's no secret that Georgia hasn't had a good quarterback situation this year, but if JT doesn't go pro this year, how do they manage JT Daniels and Brock Vandegrift?
It's a good question, Judson. I don't think he will. I just don't think he's got enough experience at Georgia. And I know what he did at SC should not really count. So I think he'll stick around. But at Georgia, you never know. That's going to be quite a comparative situation. But I appreciate very much you asking. And you have a great Thanksgiving, Judson. Be well. David is up next in North Carolina. Hey, David.
Hello, Paul. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, good. Thanks. I just want to, I've got a question for you, but I want to compliment you. You've made the University of Tennessee look like the Harvard of the South. Using the word obfuscating easily in a sentence, understanding what it meant.
Well, by the way, David, I've had it happen to me so many.
Pandemic, and you probably answered this question in the past, but.
Sure.
You yourself, do you feel like it's right for public safety, public health, or even morally for, these sports programs, college sports programs, to try to go on when we're in the pandemic that nobody can control? We don't have a vaccine for it yet. Just what, people listen to you. You know that. People value your opinion. You know that. And your own television. And I just wondered if you'd kind of get behind or get out in front of the camera and say what you feel about that sports sort of situation in the middle of a pandemic.
David, first of all, thank you for saying what you did. And it was something that I wrestled with quite a bit during the build-up to the season. But I do believe that college football made the right decision to try to do it. I think there's a lot of downside. Now, I'm only rushing here because we have to go to a break here in about 20 seconds.
Sure.
But I think the next three or four weeks are going to test the souls of the college football leaders. I'll say more in a minute. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.